Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. Another late night edition. I am Beth, aka Be True. Thank you for tuning in. It has been a stormy day in the Deep South in connection due to tropical storm, tropical depression, crystal ball. Early this morning, big tree limb fell down as soon as I opened my eyes. Right before four, prayed, tested Terry, who's in another county, a county that's closer to the coast and closer to Hattiesburg, close to New Orleans, and it had been raining since Saturday there. Rained here Friday night in Jackson, Mississippi, the capital of Mississippi. Then it started raining last night. So, but it's been windy and raining nonstop. The rain is scheduled to stop when my government order quarantine ends on Wednesday. So finally, my quarantine is out. I practice social distancing and quarantine and self-isolate anyway. But it has a different flavor to it when it's ordered by the government. I definitely have stayed in places like they have asked me to do, because I wanted so badly to go to a rally on Saturday. Kenneth Stokes had a rally, one of the council people here in Jackson, Mississippi. And I wanted so badly to go. I even told our friend of the show, Police Facebook, Juan Clore, that I wanted so badly to go. My luck, I would get questioned. They would check my background and see that I'm supposed to be quarantining. And I am so glad I have been obedient. Today has been the biggest, the largest number of cases that Mississippi has experienced since the pandemic has started. Today. So, wow. So, yeah, a lot of households have power outages out and so on. I know on the record, and since I had not spoken with Terry since last night, it's been a bad crime down in Cecil County, too. You know, Jackson is usually the place where crimes are. Areas outside of Jackson usually hear, you know, rarely you hear about murders, you know, typical crimes, but not murders. I believe they're okay. He and his mom and his family are sending him as well as the county and prayers to the law enforcement and the families that lost teenagers. I think one injured is like in his early 20s, 24. But also today's been a somber day to watch family and friends go to the viewing of George Floyd. Wow. So please chime in for this late night discussion, to share facts and your opinions, your thoughts, and the topic is reopening Mississippi, America, and the world, but we can pretty much talk about anything that's on your heart and any causes that are important to you and wherever you are, what's open, what's not, is everything full-fledged open? Are you doing the phase-out like the state of Mississippi? Governor Tate Reeves had a press conference earlier today along with MEMA. And, you know, they talked about pandemic and it talked about, of course, the bad weather that we're experiencing, the tropical storm, depression, bad weather that we've been dealing with, and other important things. Earlier in the day, I attended the No Labels Zoom meeting. I'm a longtime member of I've been a member since the beginning. With No Labels, and just honored when they asked me to become a top leader on the steering committee. So we had a steering committee meeting, which at last week's meeting on social media a couple of days ago. So whenever we get that from the YouTube channel, we share it. Usually we have like regular meetings on Wednesdays. Please, you all come. Visit the social media, read on social media. Because it's a bipartisan Washington, D.C. based organization. It's all about red, blue, purple, all of us coming together to problem solve. It's a problem solve caucus. And in D.C. of lawmakers who work together to make things. And this evening, it was a pleasure to be a part of a virtual Mississippi GOP, virtual GOP club meeting where the Lieutenant Governor and lawmaker Trent Kelly, so it was nearly 100 of us on this call. That was this earlier this evening. So talked about some, they informed us of some really important issues that's going on and things that they are working on in upcoming meetings. So big shout out to Marcy Scoggins at the Mississippi GOP headquarters and all fellow Republicans and those that just want to that are part of Republican organizations. Also, I hope Campus America come back so we can campaign for the Mississippi GOP candidates. But and then Juan's supposed to tell us more about the town hall meeting that's coming up with presidential candidate Joe Biden also. So that should be interesting. But this was a private meeting of those that are members of Mississippi GOP and part of Mississippi GOP Republican committees and so on. But very informative, and the information was very bipartisan. So I will share more from Lieutenant Governor Deborah Hosman's page and also from the Mississippi GOP page also. Yesterday was Prince's birthday. So happy birthday week in memory of Prince. Wow. And then so crazy was happening in the city of Minneapolis, and definitely sending much love to the city of Minneapolis and all around the world. Here in Mississippi, to all the peaceful protesters, and not saying anything about the looters and the rioters, but definitely sending much love and hugs to the peaceful protesters. You know, everybody's making their point, you know. I thought that was mighty brave of the mayor to walk into the crowd and really let himself be open and be a human on yesterday, and to be honest too about his stance regarding defunding or not defunding the police department. Defunding the police department, what we talked about all last week, Juan's on late last Saturday, the other Saturday night, Monday morning, then Wednesday, then Friday when the caller called in, we discussed talking about policing and how effective training is and how we need training. And shout out to Dave Prescott for donating $1 million for proper police training. But to just defund and like dismantle police departments, we think crime is bad. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We do need to quickly come up with solutions and restructuring and working and improving our infrastructures throughout cities. I know the infrastructure here in Jackson City needs to be improved. But really, of course, that's coming up in the near. That will be a focus of talk discussion on Culture Court, where we talk about defunding and dismantling versus increasing funding and increasing proper training. We're so glad to hear the governor of the state of Mississippi, Tate Reeves, he was asked a question by one of the reporters after his press conference today, and they asked his stance regarding the state of Mrs. Flagg and was his stance. And the reporter said, this is pretty much for probably city and county officials, but governors, they govern, they work with the mayors and the police departments, right? So that was good to ask him that question. Where was his, it doesn't exist to dismantle police departments, but to increase the training and that, you know, we're all about law. And so, you know, we have the right to the voice, defund, dismantle, restructure, but to dismantle. We get upset when Trump cut something out and dismantle, or any president, because all presidents do, when they dismantle something, but they say they're going to restore it. Quickly restructure the police department, yes. And like police expert Juan mentioned, and the caller that we talked to on Friday, and then the caller from Seattle that called on Monday. Wow. Dismantle, restructure, get on the same page. That's what should be uncle, because we're going to be, my mother had a favorite movie. What was that movie? The movie with Kirk Russell in New York. You know what I'm talking about? We'll be just living, oh my goodness. It would be like a movie from a Hollywood film if we dismantle police departments and then you have policing. And you think police, some of you will say, calling them, you know, yes, the bad police, but oh my God, you're from the criminal element coming out of many souls if we dismantle police departments. But I'm just sharing my opinion. You know, we're gonna have a show where we focus on the facts, which, you know, recently we've been talking about the proper training. But it would be great for us to have guests on that are for defunding, and guests like policing expert and the callers from last week that believe in proper training and increasing the funding. That's one thing that the governor of the state of Mississippi, Ted Reed, said today. He said, if anything, versus dismantling, we need to increase funding. Well, in celebration of Prince's birthday, I do have a Prince tune. Yeah, I've been able to upload songs and PSAs. And I'm definitely feeling this song right now. Thank you. Ah, I love it. Question of you. My apologies, the sound quality was not up to par the way it should be, but I thank God I'm able to upload all the music that I have. I've been getting music from many of my artist friends. I even have some spoken word I need to upload. Wow. The question of you, if you ever listen to the lyrics, listen to lyrics, all of Prince songs, but especially the question of you, so deep, and I'm really feeling that. I mean, really don't know how I feel. The question of you is a perfect example, but lovely, lovely, sexy song, very deep. Send it out to the Purple family. Also in the near future, Royal Jewels, J. Ride, Julian's Ride. We Are One, you all seen the We Are One video? I'll repost it after the show. Julian, Royal Jewels, he is excited to come on the show in the near future. And he is ready to get back to touring also. It's going to be magical. And his video is it's really awesome. It's all about unity. Those of you that have seen it know. But, wow, just an amazing time right now. But to be alive, right? So let's keep being vocal and keep praying, number one. Like Terry mentioned Friday night, keep God first like we always do. Mom always said, put it all in the Lord's hands. God first, family first. You know, put it all in the Lord's hands and definitely keep God first and center in everything we do. And thank you all for your prayers also. For many things, but for each other. I'm praying for you. Thank you for praying for me. We're praying for the world. We're praying for change. We're praying for wrongs to be righted. On Friday show, we prayed for local government, national government, international leaders and all during our moment of silence. I also prayed when we took a moment of silence for the same time limit that it took for the officers to murder Honorable George Floyd.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
You hear that? That's the sound of healthy, safe water from the tap. And that safe water is available nearly everywhere in America, thanks in large part to the Safe Drinking Water Act, which turns 40 this year. Happy birthday, Safe Drinking Water Act. Together, let's keep our water safe for the next 40 years and beyond. To learn about how to protect your water, visit drinktap.org. This message brought to you by the American Water Works Association and United Water.
Okay, that PSA might be a few years old, but we're going to birthdays, so someone might be saying, it's not 40 years, it's 45. So it might be, you know, a little off from the birthday years. But back to the subject at hand. I'm going to leave from the screen. If you call in, please do not hang up. Call in number 646-787-1578. I'm going to leave the screen to check out some real-time news, breaking news. I'm going to go to the CDC website. And remember to email me at culturetrent_best Yahoo.com. Oh, also, since we're in the midst of bad weather right now, I'm going to share a little bit from the CDC regarding natural disasters and severe weather. Preparing for hurricanes and COVID-19. This is from the CDC website, cdc.gov/disasters/hurricanes/COVID-19. Natural disasters and severe weather, preparing for hurricanes and COVID-19. Planning for hurricane season and other potential disasters can be stressful, and because the 2020 hurricane season comes during the COVID-19 pandemic, it may be especially so. We have dealt with so many disasters during the pandemic and the pandemic on top of it. Public health and emergency response professionals have advice to help you safely prepare, evacuate, and shelter for severe storms while protecting yourself and others from COVID-19. Here are some tips to help you and your family stay during hurricane season this year. Prepare for hurricane season. Understand that your planning may be different this year because of the need to protect yourself and others from COVID-19. Give yourself more time than usual to prepare your emergency food, water, and medicine supplies. Home delivery is the safest choice for buying disaster supplies. However, that may not be an option for everyone. If in-person shopping is your only choice, take steps to protect your and others' health when running essential errands. Protect yourself and others from filling prescriptions by limiting in-person visits to the pharmacy. Sign up for mail order delivery or call in your prescription ahead of time, and use drive-through windows or curbside pickup if available. Pay attention to local guidance about updated plans for evacuations and shelters, including potential shelters for your pets. If you need to evacuate, prepare a go kit with personal items you cannot do without during an emergency. Include items that can help protect you and others from COVID-19, such as hand sanitizer or bar or liquid soap if not available, and 2 cloth face coverings for each person. Face covers should not be used by children under the age of 2. And I know I see kids under the age of 2, but I understand the parents' perspective. Want to be safe. They also should not be used by people having trouble breathing or who are unconscious, incapacitated, or unable to remove the mask without assistance. When you check on neighbors and friends, be sure to follow social distancing recommendations by staying at least 6 feet, about 2 arms length from others, and protect yourself and others. If you need to go to a disaster shelter, follow the CDC recommendation, staying safe and healthy in public disaster shelter during the COVID-19 pandemic. Stay safe after a hurricane. In addition to following guidance for staying safe and healthy after a hurricane, note that you should continue to use preventive actions like washing your hands and wearing a face covering during a cleanup or when returning home. It may take longer than usual to restore your power and water if they are out. Take steps to prevent carbon monoxide poisoning if you use a generator. If you are injured or ill, contact your medical provider for treatment recommendations. Keep wounds clean to prevent infection. Remember, accessing medical care may be more difficult than usual during the pandemic. Dealing with disasters can cause stress and strong emotions, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic. Really? I am still under quarantine, which ends on Wednesday, and we're in the midst of a tropical storm, depression today, and then a big old limb fell near the roof where I just opened my eyes. Tell me about it, yes. And especially, oh my God, areas where tornadoes hit, like invaded like Orlando. We've had heavy winds where big trees just have been uprooted here in the Jackson metro area in the deep south. Okay, and to continue, people with pre-existing mental health conditions should continue with their treatment and be aware of new or worsening symptoms. So important to know, so prepare. And you can visit ready.gov hurricanes. And also, there are sections regarding earthquakes, extreme heat, and floods. Then there are sections called preparing for hurricane. What I'm reading from is preparing for hurricanes and COVID-19. But then there's the public disaster shelters and COVID-19, preparing for hurricanes, staying safe of a hurricane, what we're talking about, landslides and mudslides, lightning, tornadoes, volcanoes, wildfires, winter weather, disaster resources, health and safety concerns for all disasters. Preparing your health and information for specific groups and disaster evacuation centers. So, just before I move on to talking more about COVID, information to professionals, response workers. Are you a healthcare professional or emergency response worker? Find out how you can help people stay safe and recover after a hurricane. There are sections called Guidance for Emergency Responders in the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. Use this information to improve safety and reduce exposure risk during emergency response in the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. Big shout out to Adonis, Noel, and his family in Puerto Rico. Save my friends in Puerto Rico, listeners of the show. Safety information for healthcare professionals. Find information on vaccinations, controlling infections, drug safety, and reopening healthcare centers after disaster. Then there's a section called Safety Information for Response and Cleanup Workers. Get the facts on safety, cleanup, and have recommendations for volunteers and cleanup workers. Public service announcement for disasters that I need to download so I can put on the show, right? I do have some CDC. I did download one for hurricanes. Public service announcements help the media and other professionals get information to the public preparing for hurricanes and staying safe during and after. Okay. Now to the coronavirus. What's going on? Now, I'm under quarantine. Mississippi Department was very happy that I did not have any symptoms. I do plan to get tested, and I pray when I do get tested, it's negative. But, you know, I'm always discussing, always coming to the website for you guys. And there's a self-checker here that I go over that it's easy to do. And you tap the I agree after you have read the information. And it asks you questions. If you're experiencing life-threatening emergencies, call 911 immediately. If you are not experiencing life-threatening emergency, let's get started. And so it basically ask you questions, ask you where you're located. And I always say, I'll finish that when I'm not on the air. Are you answering for yourself or someone else? Do you have any of these life-threatening symptoms? These are and bluish lips or face, severe and constant pain or pressure in the chest, extreme difficulty breathing, gasping for air, or cannot talk without catching your breath. When my breathing gets crazy, it usually because I'm stressed about something. Like, I'm one of those people still waiting for a refund. We were still waiting for our refund check. So, you know, stimulus check, yeah, but refund check. But stress and worry cause me like, so I pretty much was like, okay, that's me just stressing, right? But extreme difficult breathing, gasping for air, cannot talk without catching your breath, severe and constant dizziness or lightheadedness, serious disorientation, acting confused, unconscious or very difficult to wake up, slurred speech, new or worsening, seizures, signs of low blood pressure, too weak to stand, lightheaded, feeling cold, pale, clammy skin. Thank you, God. I have not felt any of those symptoms. Again, let me repeat the life-threatening symptoms I ask you about. And like when the health department called me, they asked me those questions. If I've been experiencing any chest pains or high fever or difficult breathing, bluish lips or face, severe and constant pain or pressure in the chest, extreme difficult breathing, gasping for air or cannot talk without catching your breath, severe and constant dizziness or lightheadedness, serious disorientation, acting confused, unconscious or difficult to wake up, slurred speech, new or worsening, seizures, signs of low blood pressure, too weak to stand, lightheaded, feeling cold, pale, clammy skin. Oh, no. Oh, well, then it asks your age. 51. Are you feeling ill? No. In the last 2 weeks, did you care for or have close contact with someone diagnosed with COVID-19? And my answer has been yes. Do you live in a long-term care facility or nursing home? No. In the last 2 weeks, have you worked or volunteered in a healthcare facility? No. My first symptoms, stay home. Stay home 14 days. So, see, that's the law. So, my 14 days is almost up. The health department ordered me. And I even emailed them on, they text messaged me to check that I understand. And I did ask for okay to go visit my doctor and do essential stuff. But on Friday, I had emailed them and asked, I want to know if I can go to the peace march and peace rally. And they did not answer me back, so I knew what the answer was. Monitor for symptoms, stay at home. When you stay at home in quarantine, it's for 14 days. You take your temperature twice a day and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. You practice social distancing. You stay at least 6 feet away from others and stay out of crowded places. See, I wanted to go to a crowded place on Saturday. But thank God I was obedient because today was the biggest day. Today was the largest number, 498. That was our biggest day of cases since this pandemic started. Okay? Practice social distancing, stay at least 6 feet away from others, and stay out of crowded places. If possible, stay away from people who are at higher risk for getting very sick from COVID-19. If you develop symptoms, follow the CDC guidance. And in my state, they have it on their website, too. Please also see your local area's website, Mississippi State Department of Health. Okay? Then it goes into no COVID-19 test needed at this time. So, because that's what I thought they were going to tell me when I immediately answered the phone and when she said, asked me the question, did I know I had been exposed to COVID-19? I thought I was going to be instructed to get tested. But she was very concerned and she was so relieved. She even took a sigh of relief when my questions were no, I had no symptoms. She was concerned about me social distancing and keeping my distance and all. But she never said anything about testing. So my 14 days is almost up. June 10th is the last day. And this is something because I always start off and talk about the self-checker. So here live on air, I just went through the self-checker. You all just heard me. It doesn't take long. So it's good for you to go to the CDC.gov website. Do the self-checker. Answer the question. I answered the question honestly. So the bottom result, they told me I need no COVID-19 testing needed at this time. based on the answers you've given, you didn't get tested for COVID-19. But my neighbors and I, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and we believe that everybody should get tested. Anybody that want to get tested should be able to get tested. And they commend our governor, too, on doing such a great job. Okay, now in the segment regarding should you get tested. Two kinds of tests are available for COVID-19, and we talked about these on shows. Viral tests. Viral test and antibody test. A viral test tells you if you have a current infection. An antibody test tells you you've had a previous infection. An antibody test may not be able to show you if you have a current infection because it can take 1 to 3 weeks after infection to make antibodies. We do not know yet if having antibodies to the virus can protect someone from getting infected by the virus again, or how long that protection might last. Who should be tested? To learn if you have a current infection, viral tests are used, but not everyone needs this test. Most people have
need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Okay. Thank you all for your patience. I had to disconnect, so the beeping would discontinue and get back connected, you know? So thank you. I was concluding what I was talking about from checking out what was current on the CDC.gov website. And so I actually did complete the SEP checker, which is effective. So you all definitely, that's the way to find out if you should get tested or not, to go to CDC's website and test yourself. Okay. Just trying to check out our website up for the state of Mississippi. So coronavirus Mississippi Gov website says the National Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Mississippi State Department of Health, Mississippi, MSDH, who have me under Order 14, continue to closely monitor the outbreak of respiratory illnesses caused by the novel new coronavirus, COVID-19, and are working at the spread of cases nationally and in Mississippi. MSDH is actively working with doctors and hospitals on responding safely and effectively to COVID-19. On the Mississippi DHS website, and a big shout out to Dr. Thomas Dobbs and the officer that contacted me, and she told me there's so many in their office also. So big shout out to that department. I mean, they're dealing with not just COVID, but everything, all other illnesses also, from sexual transmitted diseases to everything else. Coronavirus disease, 2019, COVID-19. Then, and this is updated to June 8th. The National Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and Mississippi State Department of Health continue to closely monitor the outbreak of respiratory illnesses caused by the novel new coronavirus, COVID-19, and are working to limit the spread of cases nationally and in Mississippi. MSDH is actually working with doctors and hospitals to quickly identify cases and respond effectively to limit this outbreak. If you're waiting for test results, it is essential to remain at home if you have symptoms of COVID-19. Do not go to work or leave home. Stay in a specific room at home and avoid contact with other family members as much as possible. If you're awaiting results from a routine screening test but have no symptoms, you may return to work under the guidance of your employer unless otherwise directed by the Mississippi State Department of Health. Current cases and deaths is still the same number that I had heard earlier this evening. New cases, 498. New COVID-19 positives reported to the MSDHS as of 6 p.m. on yesterday. New deaths, 20. New COVID-19 related deaths reported to the MSDHS of 6 p.m. yesterday. Adams, 1. Emmett County, 1. Claiborne County, 1. Forest County, 1. Jones, 2. Lee, 1. LaFleur, 1. Warren, 1. Webster, 1. Yazoo, 1. 9 confirmed COVID-related deaths between May the 13th and June the 1st were identified through death certificate reports. The additional deaths are reported in the following counties: Chickasaw, 1. Clark County, 2. Jackson, 1. LaFleur, 1. Neshoba, 2. Newton, 1. And Wayne, 1. Outbreaks in long-term care facilities. LTC outbreaks 106. Current outbreaks in long-term care facilities only. One or more cases a month, staff or residents counts as an outbreak. And about our case counts, we currently update our case totals each morning based on test results from the previous day. Outside of laboratories also report positive tests to us, which are included in our totals. County case numbers and deaths may change as investigation finds new or additional information. So right now, Hinds County has 1164. Total deaths, 26. Total long-term care facilities, 85. And deaths, 13. As of now, long-term care facility where I have a loved one, they have no cases, and I hope it stays that way. But praying for everyone, praying for LTC residents and also workers, praying for this to slow down. So this is a good website to go to also check out their info, a lot of info in your state. And if you're like me, check out our state, our reports, check out our website. Because listeners and my friends across the world, thank you for keeping me updated what's going on in your states and villages and towns and cities. And I do know those around. So those of you that like to see what's going on in other states, check out our MSDH.gov. I mean, msdh.ms.gov website also. So that's info. Now, reopening Mississippi. Some local businesses have opened up. Our agriculture museum opened up on Monday. My nail gardens opened up also. All the casinos are open. I wish there was a list. I know there's a list. I know there's a list of more businesses opening. But we do know the NBA will be opening. First games will be without fans, but we do know that. Guidelines for opening up America again. This is from whitehouse.gov. Opening up, I'm looking at the guidelines. Opening up America again. Criteria. Data-driven conditions each region or state should satisfy before proceeding to phase opening. Preparedness. What states do to meet the challenges ahead? Phase guidelines, responsibility of individuals, employers during all phases and in each specific phase of the opening. Proposed state or regional gating criteria. Set aside before proceeding to phase opening. First of all, think about the symptoms, the illnesses have been down. Well, let me see. It's important for you to look at it. I want to go straight to everything's important in here. There's the film phase two. It encourage the telework. Phase two, continue to encourage telework whenever possible and feasible business operations. Close common areas where personnel are likely to congregate and interact. I enforce moderate social distance protocol. Non-essential travel can resume. Strongly consider special accommodations for personnel who are members of vulnerable populations. Now, New York opened up, right? So congrats. I love watching Blasio, the mayor of New York City, and also Governor Cuomo press conferences. So informative. And not just for New York, but for the whole world, the whole country. Schools and organized youth activities, daycare, camp can reopen. Visits to senior care facilities and hospitals should be prohibited. Those who interact with residents and patients must adhere to strict protocols regarding hygiene. Large venues, sit-down, movie theaters, sporting venues, places, worship, can operate under moderate physical distance protocols. Elective surgeries can resume as clinically appropriate on an outpatient and inpatient basis of facilities that adhere to CMS guidelines. I know I'm supposed to have a colonoscopy. I missed that appointment because of social distancing CDC guidelines of riding a J-Train, the city bus. Gyms, looking forward to getting new wheels real soon. Gyms can remain open if they adhere to strict sanitation protocols. Bars may, well, I need to get a colonoscopy schedule next time I see my doctor for my, to check my high blood pressure. I'm in good health, but I missed a mammogram that I need to reschedule. So they have started back scheduling things like that and surgeries. Most have. Bars operate with diminished standing room occupancy where applicable and appropriate. That's phase two. So that's phase two for that information for employers. Three, for states and regions with no evidence of a rebound that satisfy the gating criteria, vulnerable individuals can resume public interactions, but should practice physical distancing, minimize exposure to social settings where distancing may not be practical unless precautionary measures are observed. Low-risk populations should consider minimizing time spent in crowded environments. Resume unrestricted staffing of work sites. Phase three. And our governor said the first time he ate out in a restaurant since early March was on Friday when he was doing work down in phase three. Visits to senior care facilities and hospitals can resume. Those who interact with residents and patients must be diligent regarding of hygiene. Large venues, sit-down dining, movie theaters, sporting venues, places of worship can operate under limited physical distancing protocols. Gyms can remain open if they adhere to standard sanitation laws. Bars may operate with increased standing room occupancy where applicable. Vulnerable individuals are elderly individuals. Individuals with serious underlying health conditions, including high blood pressure, chronic lung disease, diabetes, obesity, asthma, and those whose immune system compromised, such as by chemotherapy for cancer and conditions requiring such therapy. So that is information from the White House itself regarding the phases, the phase out. Transition to reopen America. Phase one, phase two, phase three. So the reopening continues now throughout Mississippi, throughout the country, throughout the world. But at the same time, we all must follow the guidelines. And also it's recommended, the governor recommended and CDC, and I hear the mayor of Atlanta, I hear everybody, especially those that have been going to those large gatherings. I mean, there's been other gatherings too, not just those that have been at the protests. good to be vocal too, but think, be mindful of your health also. So definitely get tested and quarantine. Come go to the self checker here on the CDC and answer the questions honestly and follow the instructions. So, oh, I do have a caller. I'm back. I can see, did I hang up, caller? I'm ready to turn you on right now.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Welcome to the Shark Entertainment Report. What's going on? I don't know what time it is where you are. It's after midnight where I am. What time is it where you are?
Right now it's about to be 2 in the morning.
Oh, okay. About to be 2 in the morning. You're on the East Coast?
Yeah, Eastern, yep.
Yeah, who's talking and where are you coming from if you want to share it?
So let's just go by Jared. I'm Jared. I'm from New York.
Okay, so what, nice to talk with you. I was just talking about New York. I love watching the press conferences from the mayor of New York City and from the governor.
Oh, all right. That's the topic. Oh, yeah, it's crazy what's going on right now.
Well, the topic is what, I mean, we have so much on our hearts. What's on your heart and in your mind?
I mean, what's on my heart and my mind right now, I hear a lot of people saying that what they think that's going on is absurd. And 100% of them are white people. So saying that what they think what's going on is absurd. And that if it was reversed and these white people always take it this way that, oh, if it was reversed, then the black society would go apeshit. But that's not the point. They're missing the whole point. They're neglecting the point. You understand?
Right, yes.
So, I just noticed a lot of people just been saying that. Like, they don't really... There's a lot of people that still don't believe in Black Lives Matter and the entire movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big problem.
Black Lives Matter, yeah. But it has been amazing to see a lot of non-blacks. Wait a second. Because... But why it takes so long? You know, why it takes so many lives to be lost to see that?
Exactly. And why does it take over decades for something to finally happen of hundreds, even thousands of innocent black folks? Or Spanish folks, too. I'll throw them in there, too, because they're a part of it, too. That died
right
from the hands of these police officers that profile people. Their police officers are trained to racially profile people.
Wow. Have you ever experienced being profiled?
Yeah, a lot of times, actually. There's times where I got pulled over where I was walking on feet. You know, like
tell us about it.
So I was about 15, and I worked for this place, Burger King. So I'm coming home from work, and I'm wearing the whole get up, and I'm coming home from work, and this cop drives right past me, gives me a certain look, hits the entire U-turn, and parks right on top of me, right onto the sidewalk where I was walking. Throws me on the car, throws my bag of my food on the floor, and goes through
my pocket.
And he asked me, where am I coming from? And I told him, what do you think, man? Look, I'm coming from work. Look what I'm wearing. Then he asked me, why was you looking at me like that? And I said, I didn't even look at you. You looked at me. He went in my pocket, threw everything on the hood. Didn't even find anything. This guy looks through the Burger King bag, takes everything out, puts it on the hood, or puts burgers, fries on the hood. Didn't find anything, and he goes, oh, well, you know, it just looks suspicious, you know, it was a mistake, you know. Oh, my apologies. You're free to go. And that's it. Yeah, he thought it was okay.
How do you look suspicious and you're in your gear, your Burger King gear.
Yeah.
You have your food. If you're so hungry, you are ready to eat when you get to the house. Oh, my God.
Mm. Yeah, it's crazy. And then when he didn't find anything,
and that was
he
the
felt
first.
Stupid.
And that
felt
was the
like
first
he was
experience.
Ready to find something. And that was the first one, you know?
What was his race? Because this is a blue issue. And one of those four officers. Oh, wow.
He was very white. He was white.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. And that was 15.
Yeah, that gave me a huge effect. That instilled fear in me of police. That you could be an innocent person minding your own business, and they will attack you just because you fit the description.
Wow.
Say so. You
that
know?
Is something, but you're in your gear, your Burger King gear. Da-da-da, this guy, wow.
Yeah,
definitely harassment, and that's age 15.
Did you tell
your family when you arrived home?
No, I never told nobody this.
Oh, thank you for sharing with me, sharing with us and the worldwide listeners. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no problem. It's the biggest.
Well, I'm so glad you shared because you've been, how long you been holding this in?
Not for long. Well, so many other situations happen after that where it just kind of it becomes a small situation where it's not really thought of until it's brought upon me.
Yeah.
But from questions, you know?
And you know I'm in the Deep South. I'm in Jackson, Mississippi, and freaking go back and forth to Dallas. But I always envision. I've never been to New York. I'm looking forward to New York. But I always envision New York. I was always taught New York is the melting pot. I always envision it being no racial tension up there.
No,
but it's all across America. America has a checkered past from rural
mm-hmm.
America to big city. So we definitely need.
Let me give you my opinion. I think. There's racist people in every single state in this country. It does not matter. It could be a melting pot, but there's going to always, I'm going to say one out of five is going to be racist. And that's just because how they grew up, the people they grew up around, and it's just been passed on from generation to generation. This is not an easy thing. Racism cannot be washed away that easily, and it's that sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Because some people are in denial. Some people are in denial about being racist.
Yeah, exactly. It's because pride. Pride. It's all pride talking, you know? Like, they're putting pride over being real.
And I think that's what many people are realizing now. That's why we see so many numb black now seeing. Wait a second. We got to be part of this too to break this curse. We're all a part of this curse that's on America.
Let me try to give you another opinion too. There's genuinely good people that's involved themselves in it because they truly believe that, and then that's very good. There's a lot of people that are like that, but then there's other people. That's doing it for, let's say, like, to capitalize, like, for those intentions, you know? And some are working for certain corporations to, because pretty much big corporations, they don't want people to really realize what classism is. Because classism is as bad as racism, but it's invisible. Because racism is more in your face than classism. And they know this.
Right.
And that will be the next thing, that when people start realizing what classism is, truly.
Right. And he's talking about socioeconomically where people are, when it comes to socioeconomic, the different classes. It has nothing to do with race. What class are you in? Are you elite? Are you upper middle class? Are you middle class? Are you lower middle class? Are you below the poverty line? That's what he's talking about. And that is why people come to America and from some countries to escape that.
Yeah.
Because there's no way of living a free life when you live that way.
Not realizing that they're walking right into that. They're just not seeing it, you know?
That is a great point that you bring up. That's scary, too. But it's a gap between the classes now.
Exactly, because I'm talking about black society, right? Black community,
right.
Black society, black
exactly.
Community. Yes. So right now we're fighting the racism with the police that's killing innocent black folks and innocent minorities. But we have to also go beyond that to see what corporations is also hurting our black communities, but keeping that in the shadows. You understand what I'm saying? This corporations like Wendy's,
yes.
They do certain things that hurt the black community. You know what I'm saying? They invest in prisons that enforce, you know, locking up more minorities than whites because you understand what I'm saying? It's crazy the way they have it.
That's a good point, because some corporations are into practices that we don't really know about.
Yes.
And it's something you mentioned Wendy's, because that was like, you mentioned Burger King as a teenager. That was like my first job. I've been an entrepreneur real young, but when I was 15, 16, I worked at Wendy's. And to be coming from work from Wendy's and be harassed, that, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. And you said you have many stories. That was your first story.
That just instilled fear in the police in a very young age for me. And that's kind of where I realized what classism is and the way that society is worked around with certain people.
Right. That's a good point. That's something we need to talk more about. Also, that's something that I'm like you. That's something that stays on my mind. Like, wow.
And another thing that bothers me.
That's called color line. And what were you saying?
Yep.
Is it Gary? Okay. And what were you saying?
Oh, another thing that bothers me that a lot of people are saying. And a lot of them are white folks too. Just to be honest, they're putting dirt on the George Floyd case, saying that he ingested fentanyl, he had heart problems. The cop didn't kill him the way he had his knee on his neck. He is on video in front of everybody.
I was one of the first people to reshare it too. Early Tuesday morning, it popped up on my feed on Facebook, and I could not believe it. The Sean Reed video, you know Sean Reed that passed away early May, that live streamed his killing by police officers. I thought that was the worst video I'd seen on Facebook, and I was to reshare it. But when I could not believe what I was in, I'm like, this got to be, people always telling me, oh, that's fake news. I was praying. Because I was one of the first to see it on Facebook. I was praying, this got to be fake news. Please let this be fake news. But no way it was.
Oh, man. It's crazy.
What are your thoughts on the way he just kept looking? The police officer just kept looking into the... Looking into the lady's phone and not lifting up. As a matter of fact, it looked like he was pressing hard.
And the fact that it's still going on, it's going on now more ever since that case happened, the George Floyd, that more and more people are getting hurt by police. It's crazy. Like, the police are getting more aggressive. That's scary.
Wow. I wish my recently a police expert had been calling in, one of my friends, sharing how important it is to train more police officers. And I had a call on Friday who talked about training. So what are your thoughts regarding defunding police departments? Or do you think we need to invest in properly training police officers? Well, do you have a stance on that? Because you know the city council in Minneapolis, they're for dismantling the police department, but the mayor's not. But nationally, we've been saying let's defund and then start all over, and then there's the let's invest more and train officers properly. They need to hurry up and put something in the works, though, really fast.
Exactly, but so here's a big problem with that. Your idea is very good, but the dismantle one is I'm gonna say they're both at the same level, because the big problem is not only the training, because you could train these officers all you want. It's they have to get more into the psychology of who's trying to be an officer, learn about who they are.
Why?
If you understand, if their psychology is that they can't handle violent situations, or they're more violent, they're more aggressive than a natural person is, they shouldn't be a cop. Or even if they show signs of racism, I think it has to be more into their psychology than them being trained on what to do.
Insensitivity, because all about policing is about dealing with the community. And many want to be looked at as humans, but if they're not carrying themselves in a humanistic way, how can you be looked at as a human? You know, you're feared if you're known to harass people.
Exactly. Like,
right, we need to get into
things
like that.
They need to teach them that it's a job. It's not to wear a badge that you can literally do what you want. That's kind of what they think. It's like, they think they're hot shit in a way, you know.
And you're right. Getting their science and getting their psyche in early training, and doing orientation, whatever, doing the pre-screening, and then confining out. Maybe this is not for you. You know, it might not be the right career choice.
Yeah.
Maybe they can be working in law enforcement, but not dealing with the public. You know,
exactly.
Find out exactly. You know, because some there's the bad apples, which we see, they get the limelight. I mean, you need to, before you get to this, you need to get another occupation or. If you want to work in law enforcement, not deal with people, deal in another type of
that's right
structure. Right.
That's right. That's right.
What else?
I just had something on my mind too. I'm sorry about that. I had something out.
No.
I was about to say about that.
I hear the fun. I hear the fun happening in the background.
so this is what I had. And the penalties for the officers need to be very severe for them. Very, very severe.
Ooh.
And that will give them more of a conscience to say, hey, maybe I shouldn't push this person. Maybe I shouldn't be too aggressive. Maybe it'll make them think about it more. Because the reason why they're doing this is because they're knowing in the back of their heads that they're going to be protected by the chief when they get back. They're going to get only suspension with pay, you know?
Right. And I could not believe it. When what's the officer named? Derek Chauvin? He's been reprimanded, yeah. What, like 18 times? 18 times? You and I both will be terminated the third time, before the third time, being reprimanded on any job.
There you go.
And he's been under investigation 18 times for, well, 18 complaints. And under some pretty hard investigations I've heard about. And have shot other citizens in the area before. I know at least one gentleman came out for saying he was shot by him in 2008. You know?
There you go. And you put it out very
so,
good point.
So you're because, right. After you've been reprimanded a few times, it's time for you to get a pink slip or transfer you to another department.
Yeah, or even they should be completely kicked off of the force period and not be able to come back as a police officer. That should be that severe for them, just so they won't be another, what's his name, Gary, because he has 18. You know, so that's making them feel like he has power. He could do what he wants. Imagine a man with a guy with power. It could be a good guy. Think about it. He could be a really good guy that you know. But if you give him that type of power, mm-hmm. they eventually abuse it. It's human nature.
Right. Yes, it is. And that affects morale of the department. I believe when good cops see bad cops being treated with certain perks and special treatment, then you know that affects the morale of the good officers also. But they do their best to stay good. So, you know.
It absolutely is. But it's the very, very rare one. They're very rare.
Right.
Because a lot of them go along. Then there's a lot of them that actually go along with them, but then they'll pretend that they're a good guy. You know, some people characters that you can't really trust them as they appear.
Like those four officers. First, the original officer. How did Derek Chauvin, watching the video, how did that even happen? He wasn't even the arresting officer. One of the other guys that later was arrested was the arresting officer. Why did he? It's crazy. Well, they say they worked together. It was stated that he knew him. So I don't know. But that's one case, like you were saying, but it's a case that have woke the world up. And we have lost the... We have lost a pretty cool guy, it seems, too. Everybody's life is important.
Yeah.
I wonder why the kids got lost. The what?
The young kids, the 15-year-old kids that got shot up by police that didn't have a gun, you know? Like,
oh, my
goodness. The Mike Browns, you know? Those affect me the most.
Yeah. And a week before... George Floyd's case here in Jackson, a teenager was choked by a black officer. Thankfully, he didn't choke him to death, but he could not breathe. He was saying he could not breathe. His girlfriend or his mom, whoever was standing next to them, kept saying, "Stop choking him. He cannot breathe." So we have something going on. With the bad cop.
That should be very illegal. And the reason why it affects me so much with the kids is because, like I told you, what happened to me when I was 15, that cop could have easily pulled out his gun and just shot at me, just like they did to Mike Brown, just like that. If I reacted the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? If I ran. Because I had that instinct to run. You know, it's a basic instinct to run when something like that happens to you. I didn't run,
but you stayed calm after even dump your burger and fries Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I hope he's
I had to throw away the food and all. Yeah.
I hope he's listening wherever he is. And say, oh my God, I remember that kid. Oh, that is crazy. You're making me think back when I was 15 or 16 working at Wendy's, a female. You know, females, I mean, we're not immune. You know, wow.
I bet you have a lot more stories than I do when it comes to the police.
You know what? I have one story that I shared last week. I have a different perspective on law enforcement. I'm very pro to good cops, but I'm anti the bad cops. Get them off the force, terminate them, suspend them, get them off the force because they affect the police officers. I don't have stories personally. I have one story, and I reshare it with you. It was maybe like 10 years ago in here, my niece and I. Watching BET, watching Beyonce, and Upgrade and Mike Jones had his song out, watching videos. There was a police chase going on in my neighborhood. I looked out up under the carport to check on my dog. I see the son running across the in front of our house. I call 911. I tell them that I know where the suspect, I see the suspect, I've just seen the suspect, and if I had known it was my friends, I would not have called probably, but it turned out to be one of my friends that I always warned to stay out of trouble. I always would tell him, stay out of trouble. So he was in trouble for car theft, he said he actually didn't steal the car, but he was riding in the passenger side. But back to the story. About 8 or 9 police, the helicopter was flying above and everything. So I talked to the police, telling them where I'd seen a suspect run. Well, an officer that wasn't a part of the group came in, like Gary Shot Chauvin, came in at the last minute. Oh, he was trying to get to you. I'm out there in PJs, no house shoes on or shoes, period, trying to be a good Samaritan and help the police. This police that didn't even know what was going on, he come up going screaming at me, and he was a black police officer. And he going off, and the other cops were white and black and male and female, going off on me, just screaming at me like, real sergeant, oh, he was trying to get to you. I'm getting ready to call your info in. So I'm so glad I think my license had been suspended, and I had just had him renewed. And he called in my information. And if I had anything on suspended license, he was going to handcuff me and put me in the car, too. So that was, and then the other officers had my back. They were like, no, she the one that called us. She's helping us. And when he went off on me, because when I said I knew the suspect, and he was like, oh, he was trying to get to you. You part of it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so that was my experience. But many of my friends of different races, they have stories. They have some stories. But then many of my friends are law enforcement also. And like I said, one expert's been on the show. He was on the show last week. And I hope you can return for a roundtable discussion where I bring in law enforcement experts, police and experts, and then you talk with them also. We all talk about how we can be a part of the solution of what's going on. But I do have stories that I have witnessed and stories that I have seen, but that's my only story. Because I was brought up with the officer friendly program, and I always look at, all cops. Like, when I seen that video 2 weeks ago, I'm like, no way is that officer friendly. When I was a little kid in first or second grade, no way would I have dreamt of a police officer doing what I, what we all witnessed on Facebook. No way. I mean, really, that's an anger good cops when not, and like you were saying, it happened every day in every town and city. Good cops need to speak up more. They need to speak up more and report to their chiefs that we cannot tolerate this bad element being a part of our force anymore.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard for them to do because right now they're playing the they're playing both they're pretty much playing both sides. They don't want to upset the other officers most definitely. They don't want to upset their department, but they also don't want to upset the people. That's not a good place to be in. You can't be in the middle. It's either they have to make that decision.
Right.
Here's a scary part of the story that's interesting that you told me too. That you did nothing wrong, right? And yet he pulled you into it saying, oh, so he's trying to come to you. Maybe you're a part of this. If you would have said the wrong thing, you would have went to prison for something you didn't do. That's what I'm talking about, the scary part that happens to black people.
Right.
If my license
had been suspended or just anything, a ticket, well, a court date for a traffic ticket, I would have been thrown in the back of the car for no reason. And I'm this geeky nerd, you know? Like, what? Are you serious?
And my
sister told me, you need to stay in the house. Don't go back. My sister told me, don't go back out there with those officers. And I'm like, oh, I'm going out here. And my sister looked out the window and she told me she was saying herself. I told her I don't go back out there. But I almost thrown in jail just for calling them.
Wow.
And if he was trying to get to me, I didn't know, and I wasn't a part of it. I didn't know anything. So that was no reason to put in jail, even if he was trying to get to me. You know, but he wasn't trying to get to me, running, fleeing from the police and trying to hide.
It's a shame. It's really a shame. This is not this is not going to be an easy thing. This is going to take a very, very, very long time to fix.
Right. And it's rural America. It's big city America. And our friends are worldwide listeners, because we have worldwide listeners listening to us. And I know you're internationally that you interact with. They tell you the same thing. It's a worldwide problem. Then look at the protests going on in Paris and in London and all around the world for what's happening over here in America.
That's a huge thing. That's a very huge thing. That says a lot. But there has to be something that comes out of this. They cannot just do this and then just go home and forget about it, you know? Like most protesters go. They have to have an aim. And at this point, they could aim real high. Because a lot of these corporations and the government, you know, is kind of on their toes about this.
Right. I salute Serena Williams' husband. He's for stepping down, co-founder of Reddit. And he's stepping down from his position, and he said that the person that replaces him should be an African American.
And that's a huge thing. See, that's a person that believes in their morals and principles. And you're not gonna have a lot of people like that. But nowadays, if a person like that is in a big corporation like that, that shows a lot. And he deserves to be saluted for that, to be honest, for a community that he's not a part of, but he sees it as we're all together as one. That's exactly what community is.
He said he's thinking about his daughter, because his daughter is black. I mean, he said his black daughter. He didn't say his mixed daughter. He said his black daughter. You know?
Yeah.
He said because his black daughter, he said when she asked him, what did you do? He said he wanted to give her a good answer. And, you know, he and Serena are a power couple. And so that does, you're right, that says a lot. But, you know, all of us are different, like you were saying, in different classes, different socioeconomic backgrounds, all do something.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what were you?
Yeah.
I thought you were.
I understand his. Okay. No. I understand his point of view because I have a black daughter too, and when she grows up, I'm gonna have to explain to her all of this, you know, and how to you know keep calm around police, you know, I got to teach her everything that's against her when she automatically grows up. And that's a sad thing that you have to teach a kid that. When and a lot of people, there's a lot of other people that won't have to experience that. But a lot of people in the black community have to experience that, and they have to teach their kids that. And that's a sad thing for a kid to experience.